A Reflection on the Gospel for the Second Sunday of Easter by Michael Collins, Reader. Hear the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John, chapter 20, verse 29. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This year, our Gozo community celebrated its 15th anniversary of foundation. We gather in the Sacred Heart Seminary in Victoria for Mass every Wednesday, thanks to the kindness of the Bishop of Gozo and the Rector of the College. Later in the year, Bishop David, prevented from being with us now, will join us for a delayed celebratory Mass. St. George has a strong connection with Gozo. The Basilica is dedicated to him, and in November 2018, Father Simon assisted at the ceremony when a relic of St. George's arm was laid up there. St. George has been linked with the Basilica since its foundation under the Emperor Theodosius in the last years of the 4th century, around 390. Christianity had been brought to the island some years before by Greek monks. At that time, Christians were divided in their beliefs about the relationship between Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father. Theodosius called a synod to settle the question at Chalcedon, a small town near Constantinople. The synod agreed a statement called the Chalcedonian Creed, which contains the famous formula that Christ was equal to the Father in respect of his divinity, but lesser according to his manhood. What has this to do with St. George? Well, the mission of the Greek monks to Gozo was probably to win the island to the cause of Chalcedonian orthodoxy and loyalty to Theodosius. In return, Theodosius would protect Gozo from usurpers and pirates. To establish Catholic worship permanently, a pagan temple was repurposed, and the first of the four churches which have stood on the site of the Basilica was consecrated. St. George was probably chosen because his cult had become closely linked with the rulers of the Eastern Roman Empire. Ever since Helena, mother of the Emperor Constantine, had visited the Holy Land in 328 and established a church of St. George there. All this is many centuries ago, and our concerns are very different from those of our forebears in the faith. Yet although we may be more concerned to relieve poverty and loneliness, for example, than to seek help against pirates, the beliefs that focus our faith in God the Holy Trinity and our relationship with him through prayer and sacrament are in substance the same. We may also still draw inspiration from the traditions of St. George. He is well known for his military virtue. He is believed to have been a Roman centurion serving at Lydda, present-day Lod, a centre of local Roman administration in Palestine, renowned for the repair of horse tack. It was there that he was martyred. Hence, St. George became the patron saint of cavalry. St. George also represents civil virtues and causes such as championing the rights of women and the poor, because before his martyrdom he left all his property to the poor. In fact, though, his early cult was mostly concerned with his role as a healer from such diseases as tuberculosis. His close connection with the agricultural region of the Vale of Sharon near Lydda has caused him to be considered a patron of horses, cattle, and sheep. The tradition thus also fits him to be patron of equality and animal rights. My book, St. George and the Dragons, published by Fonthill Media with 54 colour illustrations, discusses from a Christian viewpoint the modern relevance of St. George in its first and last chapters. It also points out that St. George is much venerated in Palestine and Syria. In some places there, Christians and Muslims share houses of worship, and both congregations invoke the saint's blessing and pray for his intercession for the sick. A Syrian scholar has told me that in Syria, a Christian is often called a George. Today, as originally in the Middle East, where St. George is still a leading religious figure, there is conflict within and between cultures, and Christianity is under threat. At a conference where I presented my book, it was suggested that the figure of St. George could help heal the divisions that have grown up within previously peaceful communities. As today's Gospel says, the Easter Church, empowered by the Holy Spirit given by the risen Christ, is sent on mission. The Gospel shows that there are two main challenges to those who are sent. The first, as the story of Doubting Thomas illustrates, is the temptation to doubt and to demand incontrovertible proof of the faith, as if we were actually touching Jesus. The Gospel says we cannot expect to live as if Jesus was still with us in the flesh. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. We ourselves have to be his body. We here and now have to take on that enormous responsibility. The second challenge is to follow Jesus in confronting the reality of sin, overcoming it, where repentance opens the door to God's grace, to life restored and renewed in individuals and institutions, and pardon and peace received for ourselves and society. At the same time, the Church on Mission stands up against beliefs and practices that deny life and perpetuate injustice and suffering. Sin, after all, is not just trivial faults and failings that may be, in the words of the advert, naughty but nice. Sin is what denies life its fullness, clouds our vision of the Holy Trinity, and blocks our way to life-affirming worship. St. George speaks to us across the centuries about persistent loyalty to our faith, about moral courage, about the healing of divisions, about witness to all sorts and conditions, about respect for God's creation and its other creatures, about hard work conscientiously done. St. George was probably martyred because he refused to take part in pagan military ceremonies devoted to such gods as Apollo. His trust was in the one God whom he had come to know in Jesus. His purpose was to witness. Witnessing when challenged was how the early church saw the role of martyrs. Let us remain steadfast to the ancient traditions of Gozo, a frontier to outposts of the Christian faith, loyal to the tradition of the famous martyr, knowing that Jesus does appear among communities that expect him to reveal himself, confident that the Spirit will lead us out of present dangers to a world renewed and restored, which takes place, takes part in the resurrection life. Amen.